Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, July 3rd. I'm Jonathan All, in for Abby Larico. Black St. Louisans and other African Americans across the country are still pushing for reparations. One restorative justice group is working to help at the local level, even if the federal government won't repay for its role in slavery and racial discrimination.
We are creating a report to support their efforts for some type of redress or reparative justice. The crazy thing about this is that they're having to prove a case, though.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with the African American Redress Network about reparations for Black Americans. That's coming up on The Gateway. St. Louis police are warning fans of a popular toy gun to avoid crossing the line from fun and games into assault. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, the police warning comes after six teens with gel blaster guns were apprehended downtown Monday night.
Police say these teens didn't necessarily break the law with their pretend gunplay, but could have sparked a deadly response from an armed bystander. Sergeant Gary Wall says there have been multiple recent examples of juveniles shooting gel pellets at strangers in public, including one in which someone shot pedestrians from a moving vehicle.
It's not appropriate to shoot any of these types of toys, if that's what we want to call them, at unsuspecting individuals. It, by the letter of the law, could be considered an assault.
Wall asks anyone who's been hit by someone armed with gel blaster guns or splatter guns to report the incident to police. He also cautions parents to make sure children only aim their toy weapons at willing playmates and not at unsuspecting strangers. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missourians shouldn't expect much to change in the wake of a letter from the Biden administration to hospitals and doctors about emergency abortions. The letter reminded recipients of a federal law requiring hospitals to provide stabilizing treatment after the U.S. Supreme Court dismissed a challenge to that policy this week. Mallory Schwartz is the executive director of Abortion Action Missouri. She says this doesn't clarify the abortion ban, which provides an exception in case of medical emergencies.
Providers are already scared about what care they can give the patients in front of them, and people are scared about when and whether they are able to seek care.
Missouri was one of the first states cited after Roe v. Wade was overturned for violating federal law by denying a pregnant woman emergency care. U.S. Representative Cori Bush has introduced a bill to repeal the Comstock Act. It's a law that bans the mailing of obscene matter, which includes material that could be used for an abortion. St. Louis Public Radio's Madison Holcomb reports on the proposed repeal of the 1873 law.
The Comstock Act has not been enforced in decades, but reproductive rights advocates are concerned it could be used to restrict the mailing of abortion pills and materials used for abortion procedures. Bush introduced the Stop Comstock Act last week. She says the bill will ensure abortion access is protected.
The anti-abortion movement wants to weaponize the Comstock Act as a quick route to a national abortion ban. We need to get Comstock off the books, and we need to do it today.
Bush says the Stop Comstock Act will repeal portions of the original bill that target abortion and reproductive rights. I'm Madison Holcomb, St. Louis Public Radio.
After the 2022 election, Missouri Governor Mike Parson appointed Andrew Bailey as Attorney General to replace Eric Schmidt, who was elected to the U.S. Senate. Now, Will Scharf is challenging Bailey in the Republican primary. Scharf is an attorney who has been part of former President Donald Trump's legal team. He was also policy director for then-Governor Eric Greitens. Scharf says while Parson made his choice, Missouri voters also deserve a say on who is the next attorney general.
I think Andrew Bailey is a creature of the Jefferson City establishment. He's being backed by all the lobbyists and all the special interests and all the folks who really run that city.
Scharf says he doesn't believe his past with the Greitens administration makes him a political insider. The leader of the Missouri House of Representatives announced a new committee yesterday centered on investigating crimes committed by undocumented immigrants. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, a House Democrat appointed to the committee says she doesn't see a need for it.
Speaker of the House Dean Plocker says he created the interim committee to enhance the safety of Missouri residents. However, Representative Emily Weber, a Democrat from Kansas City, says the issue of undocumented immigrants isn't top of mind for the Missourians she has talked to.
I'm not just talking to Democrats either. I am talking to Republicans and independent voters. And this is not what they're talking to me about at all. This is not an issue that comes up.
Weber says she's not sure what the work will entail within the committee. She also says she believes the reason why this committee is being formed is because it's an election year. Plocker is seeking the Republican nomination for Missouri Secretary of State. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis is one of many cities across the nation acknowledging its role in racism and establishing task forces to help make the case for reparations for Black Americans. Local community organizations are also pressing officials for compensation and redress for decades of discrimination, racial violence, and divestment. One national group is supporting these efforts with research and legal assistance to help Black communities get what they say is owed. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
It's March in Detroit, and a crowd of people are on a bus tour with the city's reparations task force. Detroit's official historian is animatedly sharing information about Black communities in the city that once existed. Detroit is one of many cities nationwide, including St. Louis, with task forces studying reparations for Black Americans. Nonprofits and organizations are also helping community groups and task forces explore ways to repair decades of harm. The African American Redress Network is one organization that's providing a reparations framework for communities to give to local and state leaders. The network helped groups in cities like Detroit, San Francisco, and Kansas City. Their goal is to complete at least 40 redress projects.
We are just listeners and learners. What are the things they're worried about? What are the things that they are dealing with on a daily basis? Simultaneously, we are also doing an ethnohistory, specifically looking at the Black experience in that city.
That's Linda Mann. She's a civil rights attorney and the co-founder of the network. It typically takes on about 3 community redress projects a year. The team provided Evanston, Illinois, with a segregation impact study, and Africatown, Alabama, asked for assistance with preserving their town's Black history. The group studies historical rulings to see what legal avenues to push for redress.
We do not extract the data. We are creating a report to support their efforts for some type of redress or reparative justice. You know, the crazy thing about this is that they're having to prove a case, though.
The African American Redress Network started in 2019. Historians, lawyers, and experts gathered to address historical racial injustices and develop a local and state reparative justice plan. In 2020, the group created a digital mapping project. It tracks legislative bills on reparations task forces or truth-telling and reconciliation commissions nationwide. As of today, they've mapped over 100 efforts. And St. Louis is one of the mapped cities. Over the past year and a half, Black St. Louisans testified to the St. Louis Reparations Commission, like Anthony L. Shock.
You want economic development? Pay the descendants of American slaves with our ancestors for their 400 years of free labor. You will build your economy. It's going right back into the economy anyway. Cut the check.
Residents told stories about their experience with racial discrimination and how St. Louis's legacy of slavery has affected their generational wealth. Descendants of enslaved Black people who helped Jesuit missions in Missouri by building St. Louis University also are calling on university leaders to atone for SLU's role in slavery. Areba Martin is the descendant's attorney.
Think of this as not a money grab, and think of it as a pursuit for equity and parity and justice.
Duke University professor William Darity is critical of grassroots reparations organizations and local movements. He believes without a federal program, local initiatives will be inequitable and incomplete.
This is happening in the reverse direction from which it should happen. We should have pursued and put in place a federal reparations program, and then individual localities or states could supplement that.
The African American Redress Network also believes Congress should have already had a bill in place. Here's Mann again.
I hope someday to see all the communities that have done this kind of research go to the federal government and plop down their papers. They have a little reading material for you. It's time.
I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Brian Moline edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. The Gateway will be off for the Independence Day holiday. We'll be back on Friday. I'm Jonathan Alm, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.